Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And today my next guest, Miss Carol, is joining us from Pennsylvania, and I haven't had a chance to chat with her much. So again, one of these episodes where I'm kind of hearing her full story for the first time. So thank you so much, Carol, for joining me and taking the time to share your journey.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We just want to spread awareness, right? Yes. And so where do we start in your journey? Do you even know?
Well, this happened in 2015. It was November 2015, and it gets it's fall, so of course it's chilly. Leaves are everywhere in my neighborhood. It's very wooded around here, like not real wooded. It's a suburb of Pittsburgh. It's called Trafford, PA, and it's just a little suburb of of Pittsburgh. And in this particular neighborhood, there were trees that they took out, and I guess it's a lot of wooded areas, built the houses. And in my backyard, there's some trees, but you can still see the houses behind it, but it's just these kind of wooded. Apparently, it's called Deer Run, so that sort of tells you there's a lot of deer.
Might be a deer or two there, right?
Yeah, and I'm not an outdoorsy person. I hate camping. I will not hike. I don't do anything. I just go outside in the backyard with my dog to go to the bathroom, and I don't like to treat my yard because of the dogs. So I don't put any insecticides or anything in my yard, and I didn't put any flea collars or anything on the animals because I didn't want all the chemicals on my animals.
Right.
And it always worked before. I've never had an issue with ticks or fleas with many of my pets. I mean, I've had pets since I was 7 years old and never had an issue with anything. And I used to play in, leaves and stuff, and when we were growing up, and never had issues with ticks. So I'm out in my backyard with my dog, and I come in and I kept finding ticks on the dog. And then the one day I came in and I was in the shower, and I found like a tiny little black spot on my arm, which was in that squishy part between your arm and your shoulder. And I was like, that is just a tiny little black spot. So I looked a little closer, and it had legs on it. So I got out of the shower and picked it off with the tweezers, and I got the whole thing out, checked the dog. The dog had one too, so I got it off the dog. So then the CDC always tells you to look for a bullseye rash. So that's embedded in my head. I don't know anything about Lyme disease. I just figured it was just some joint pain, and that's about it. So I'm thinking, okay, when the dogs are getting treated, they usually say that it has to be on your skin for like 72 hours, and it has to, in order to transmit any bacteria, and also to look for a bullseye rash. And I just figured I was safe. Didn't have a rash. I picked it off within, it wasn't even engorged. I figured I picked it off within a reasonable amount of time, and I figured I'd be fine. So I let it go. I had the dog tested, and she tested negative for Lyme. So I guess, let's see. So November 2015, February 2016, I started having some weird symptoms. Just sitting at my table, the first symptom was like a cold sweat, just like my whole body just drenched in sweat. And I was just sitting there not doing anything and just happened to be like sweating. So I went upstairs. I told my husband, I said, thinks I'm having a heart attack or something, because I had all this anxiety and it was really weird. It's never happened to me before. And I said, I think you need to call the ambulance. I was getting ready to go to work, and I was just finishing breakfast and getting ready to leave. So he's fumbling around in the dark with the phone, and he couldn't figure it out, and then it started going away. So I'm like, you know what, don't call an ambulance. I think I'm okay. So I'm just going to go to work. So I went to work, didn't think anything about it anymore after that. Then this heavy fatigue started coming, because these symptoms came on like very gradual. Mm-hmm. So this massive blanket of fatigue was just horrible. It was like a fatigue I've never can even describe. It was almost like the feeling that you would think that is, if this is what you feel like before you die, when people say you get really tired and you just go to sleep and you don't wake up again, that's the feeling I thought was happening, because I'm thinking it was so horrible. It's
certainly fatigue with Lyme is like a whole nother level of fatigue. You know, a lot of people with COVID and they're talking, oh my gosh, I was so tired. I'm like, and I had COVID once and I was very, very extremely fatigued. But in my eyes, there was no comparison. It's just hard to describe the level of fatigue.
It was a weird fatigue feeling. It wasn't like, it was just odd. And it follows you around everywhere. You can't get away from it. So, and it was a scary fatigue feeling. So it's like, it just felt like you were going to go to sleep and not wake up again. So then I went to the doctor and I kept telling him about this weird feeling. And also I was getting a tingly feeling in my face. Like, I don't know if you saw the movie Poltergeist a long time ago when it came out. Do you remember when the guy was peeling his face off at the sink?
Oh, my goodness.
That's what this felt like. And it was this tingling feeling. It was driving me crazy. So I went to my doctor and I told him, I said, I got this weird dizzy feeling. I have this weird fatigue. He's like, oh, you just have allergies. Take Sudafed. You should be fine. Okay, allergies, whatever. Took the Sudafed. Didn't work. But in the meantime, it's like you can't get into your doctor for like 3 months so to even see your PCP. So you're waiting and waiting and waiting to see them. So in the meantime, it's like these little symptoms are gradually happening. The weird tingling feeling, the anxiety feeling, like this panic. It was a sheer panic feeling which just come over you out of nowhere. So those little things, and I kept telling him, I'm like, it's weird. I got this weird panicking. I got this tingling in my face. And I gave the descriptions of all my symptoms. And he's like, well, what else did he tell me I had to do? I can't remember what he wanted me to do, but it was whatever it was, it wasn't working. And I thought, you know, I got to switch doctors. So I went back to my regular PCP that I had a long time ago. And I lived in South Hills. Went to him. He ordered an EKG because I started having weird heart feelings. The panic. They gave me Xanax and told me that all I had was anxiety. So take Xanax. In the meantime, as these little weird symptoms are happening, they're gradually, like they're starting to be more prominent. Mm-hmm. So the tingling never went away in my face. The fatigue never went away. The panic set in. It was downright horrible, this panic. And then I think what else happened? Then I started having like heart palpitations. I felt like I couldn't breathe or get air in all the way. Like I'd be laying there and I thought, do I have an asthma attack? I'm like, am I getting asthma all of a sudden? And it would just be that feeling where you just felt like you just couldn't suck the air in.
Air hunger,
which now I feel like it's, what's that called? Air hunger.
Yes, air hunger. Probably from Babesia. Yeah.
So I think I had that. And then I was like, okay, this is weird. It felt like a weird asthma attack, but it didn't feel like an asthma attack. It was strange. So I was just set up. There was a couple trips to the ER. They did blood work. It seemed fine. They kept sending me home with Xanax and just kept saying, take the antidepressant and take the anti-anxiety. And they just kept blowing it off. So just between that, three trips to the ER, just taking Xanax, which didn't do anything except make me tired. And, but the symptoms were still there. So even while you're sleeping, your brain doesn't shut off. So you're just like, the weird feeling is still happening while you're sleeping. So like the weird, disassociation feelings, just like the stuff that goes on in your brain, it feels like your brain was hijacked. There were times when I was sitting there in a room full of people and I felt like I wasn't there. Yeah. And it's just like a really strange feeling. Like
I don't know if we're dreaming or if we're really here or
You can see, you can feel like you're just looking down at your family, but you don't feel like you belong in there. It's like you're not there. It's like it was just weird. And it's so hard to describe some of these symptoms. It was just the strangest thing. In the meantime, my brain is being attacked by all this bacteria and nobody can figure it out. So I made an appointment with a holistic doctor. And the holistic doctor, I had to wait, I think, 3 or 4 months to get in to see him. Finally, when I got in to see him, he tested me for Lyme and said that I tested positive for one band of Lyme, which was the KD something, KD's one, or I can't remember the name of it, but whatever it was, it said either Lyme disease, syphilis, or periodontal disease is what this one band would show up in under your blood test. And I don't have periodontal disease. I don't have syphilis. And he said, did you get bit by a tick? And I told him yes. And he's like, well, you definitely have Lyme disease then. We're going to start treatment. So he started treatments. He started like large volumes of vitamin C. And he did like that, where they oxygenate your blood and then put it back in.
The blood ozone.
Yeah, that's it. And then he did a couple other IV bags. And nothing was, it was making it worse. So he basically said what happens is you start killing the bacteria. And I'm going to get away from the dog. She's whining. So he said you got to kill the bacteria. Get away from the, he said you, what happens is your liver's being overloaded with all the bacteria as it's dying. So then you have to, I guess, keep doing more treatments in order to flush it out. And I was doing all these treatments and he was killing it, but it was getting worse and nothing was helping. He didn't
tell
me. Were
you not doing any type of detoxing during this? Because as you kill, you got to bind it and detox it out of your body. Well, so he wasn't sharing that part. Okay.
No, he didn't tell me to detox. He just kept saying, I said, well, how long do I have to keep doing this? Because now I'm up to $2,200 a month now and I'm feeling worse than I did when I went in there. And he said, well, you're just going to have to keep doing it until you feel better. And I'm like, well, is there an end in sight here? Because I don't know how long it's going to take. And he said he didn't know, just keep doing the treatments. Well, they're very expensive. And then it's like eventually my husband's like, we're going to be homeless. So so the treatments, I had to stop them. And I couldn't see him anymore. In the meantime, now I got these worse treatments and I couldn't afford to see him anymore. So then things are just rapidly progressing, you know, like it got to the point where.
So you didn't notice any improvement from the treatments that you were doing. You just continued to go downhill.
Yes, because I guess I was getting flooded with bacteria that was dead now at this point.
Yeah.
And
how long was that treatment? How long did that last?
That went on for 8 months.
8 months. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now you quit that. And then where did you turn to?
Well, I went to see a couple other holistic doctors who are a little bit cheaper, and they just give you a bunch of supplements to take. And I'm taking all these supplements. In the meantime, I'm still having all the symptoms and I'm panicking and everything was just, you know, it was just getting worse. And then I saw like a chiropractor who kind of did some extra, like, you know, supplement things. And that wasn't helping. And I was just like freaking out because now I'm getting to the point where I'm having morbid thoughts. And now I'm not being able to walk because I'm having tremors and my muscles are rigid. And on top of everything else, it's like that was the newest symptom where I couldn't really walk and was having really bad tremors. So I was Googling stuff on, you know, like the Lyme symptoms and what to do. And I'm trying to figure things out. And I didn't really know what to do at this point. So I guess Google reads your cookies and they send you stuff in your Facebook. So I happened to see this facility. You know how that is? It was like it's read your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw this Lyme stuff coming up in my Facebook thing. And I happened to see this one facility in Arizona came up. And I was reading about it. And as I'm like, I'm like thinking, well, I think that one might be something I'd be interested in doing. I called them, got a quote for a cost because everything's out of pocket with Lyme disease.
Right.
And they wanted $60,000 to $80,000 for treatments.
Wow.
And but you had to go to Arizona for that. And I thought, well, I don't know what the heck I'm supposed to do out of pocket for this. So I kind of put it out of my mind and tried still seeing this one doctor who was I had like a plethora of supplements that was just, I mean, I had thousands of dollars worth of supplements. And I wasn't even sure what I was doing with them all, you know, I was just like, this is insane.
Yeah.
So, and things are just getting worse. So then my mother saw me having these tremors and one day I went over her house and I was just, it just wouldn't stop. And they decided to pay for my treatments to go to Arizona. So I went to this facility, it's called Invita. And, I just hopped an airplane right before Christmas and they sent out the test to have the test done to see where I was with the, what type of bacteria I had, what was the most strongest bacteria that was in my body. So
do you know where they did the test to?
They mailed it to me from Invita, and it was a urine test.
Oh, okay.
And I did it because it takes 4 weeks for the test to get results. And I didn't want to spend 4 weeks in Arizona without getting any results.
Right. Okay. So they send you a test, you do it, you wait for the results, and then they kind of know what they're dealing with.
Well, yeah, but you have to go to have your appointment with them before they give you the results.
Okay.
So I scheduled my appointment right around the time they assumed my results would be back, which is spot on because when I got there, the results came that day.
Oh, perfect. Something went right?
Yeah. So I went and saw the doctor. He's a very well-versed doctor in this field. I mean, he knew exactly what was going on. Babesia was my main culprit, which was causing me to have all the panic and all the weird feelings that I was having.
And that air hunger, for sure.
And the air hunger and the heart palpitations. And Babesia is almost like they say a malaria type thing. And you almost get, it's almost like malaria. And so there's all the weird symptoms coming from that. And then I had a little bit more, like that was the worst one. Then there was the Bartonella, the Ehrlichia. I didn't really have any rocky spotted mountain fever or whatever that's called. But it was mainly Babesia, the Lyme, and Bartonella. So they treated the Babesia first, and they used...
So they did, they didn't just treat it all kind of as an umbrella. They went individually on the co-infections? Yeah.
It's individually to your specific testing. So if you have like, everybody's different. They treat everybody, but your whole, but according to your lab results, that's how they treat. So mine is, it was custom made to what my results showed. So my protocol was vitamin C, large volumes of vitamin, more than what I was getting here in Pittsburgh. And then they started, they called it the OxyBosh, which was the oxygenated blood. They also did a, they did all that first to prep you for the hard stuff. So that was the treatment they use is called IRAD, which is where they drop your blood sugar down to a level where you almost feel like you're going to pass out. And then they give you mannitol to open up your blood-brain barrier, and then they flush it out. My cocktail was three different antibiotics, according to my blood test results. And so they flush it out with your antibiotic cocktail, and then they tell you to bring like berries and some fruit and stuff, and then you eat your berries whenever you're done with your treatment, and then they give you some glucose, and it closes everything back up. And I think I had about 13 weeks of that. So
was that like a once a day you did this for 13 weeks?
Yeah, once a day. Yeah, it was about three times a week I had that.
Okay, so they actually were dropping your blood sugar. And how did they do that? Do you know?
With the mannitol, or was that to open the blood-brain barrier? I think...
Was it like a shot that they gave you, or you took something IV? Okay, so they give you an IV of something. It lowers your blood sugar. They test, then they kind of do their thing while it's low. And then once they do their thing, they kind of bring you back up and raise your glucose.
When you feel like, they bring your blood sugar down, and then they open up your blood-brain barrier with the mannitol. Then they flush it out with the antibiotic cocktail. They customize to your test results. And then they bring your blood sugar back up again. So they did this like three times a week for 13 weeks.
And how did you feel? Did you feel
like crap
when they did it? Like, did it? Because I know, a lot of us that go through Lyme, we don't necessarily have any blood sugar issues until we have Lyme, right? And so my blood sugar was always all over the place. And I know sometimes when it would get really low, like I would get shaky or feel lightheaded. Was that kind of the same symptoms that you would feel they would put you into, or?
No, it was all pretty much structured, and they had very experienced nurses and everything there in case something would happen. Mm-hmm. They knew exactly what they were doing. And,
So you didn't feel any different, really, when they were doing it?
Well, the only thing you feel like is a little lightheaded when they're ready to do it. And then as soon as you felt lightheaded, then they're like, okay, well, eat your berries. And then they start bringing you back up.
Okay.
So they had to open the blood-brain barrier to get all that out of there. And that was the only way to get it out, because once it passes your blood-brain barrier, it's trapped in there. And they got the biofilm protecting everything, and it changes form, and it runs from your antibiotics, just bounce off of it unless you break that biofilm. So they were breaking the biofilm and then killing it out of your brain.
Okay.
With that treatment, it's called IRAD. It's a little acronym. It's like IRAD. And
okay, I've never heard of that before.
It's custom to that facility.
Oh,
and
okay.
They're the only ones that do it.
Okay.
So, and they only treat Lyme and cancer there. So that's the only two things they treat in this facility.
Okay. And you were there for 13 weeks?
I was there for 3 months.
Okay. Were you there overnight, or was it just during the day and then you stayed somewhere else?
Yeah, I had to get a hotel and stay off site because it's a clinic. And they just run on regular business hours.
Okay.
So, they have recommendations where you can stay. They prefer you to stay at a resort, but I'm putting all my money into my treatments. I wasn't wanting a resort.
Right.
So I stayed at extended stay, which is fine. You know, it had a kitchen in it and stuff, and that was fine. But
So you did this roughly 3 days a week. And then what types of treatments did they do the other days of the week?
They did the vitamin C every single, they did the same treatments pretty much. It was vitamin C, the OxyBosh, and then they did ketamine. I had 3 treatments of ketamine off site, which was a different, they didn't use my IV port. I had to have a port placed when I got there. Right. This was off site. This was to reset your neurological system. Yeah, the ketamine. Some people needed more treatments. I only needed 3, and they were about $900 a piece. And I only needed 3. Some other lady needed 9. And then he had me do this detox drink while I was there to detox. And it was a lot of detoxing. So whenever you left the facility and went to your hotel room, you were pretty much worn out from the treatments. They weren't easy treatments. They were very rigorous. They tired you out. It wasn't a fun thing to do. It wasn't fun to go through. I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but at least it was helping. And the place was so kind, and they were just, it was a very healing place. And even the other patients, supported each other. And
It sounds very similar to where I did my initial treatment, the doctor that truly saved my life. A clinic in Reno, Nevada, Sierra Integrative Medical Center, I think. Gosh, that might just went out of my mind for a second. But it was like regular business hours, 6 days a week. You went in, did your treatments, and then you would go home. I rented a house there because I was there for a handful of months, just kind of like what you said. But when you got home, and I remember my mom flew down from Oregon to be my caregiver. And when I got back to the house, I was like, I was so exhausted. You're just beat up for the day. And she's like, well, you need to eat dinner. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to put my pajamas on. Like, I'm just exhausted. Right. So it's really a brutal treatment. Just being treated like that every day, even though mine was hyperthermia, yours was this IRAD, 2 totally different things, but same scenario, same setup of just a daily clinic. It's like a full-time job.
It is. It's terrible.
So when you initially started going there and they were doing some of the same things before they started doing the IRAD, were they supporting your detox pathways? And that's why you weren't feeling worse like you were with the other doctors?
Yeah, they were all about detoxing. Detox, detox, detox. And even when you weren't at the clinic, they gave you what I called homework, which was, I had to take these pills. They wanted you detoxing, so I was detoxing the whole time. It was, my detox regimen was Epsom salt bath, castor oil pack, and what was the other thing? Esther. I'm trying to think what the other thing was.
castor oil.
Yeah, detoxing. I mean, you know, a lot of times we just get so hyper-focused on killing because we want it out of our body, right?
Yes.
But we've got to detox right along with killing unless this dead bacteria is just going to recirculate throughout your body and not do us any good, right? Like it's going to just, you don't want that in there. And so it's really important to detox. There's a lot of great things. Did you do any coffee enemas or colonics?
Yes, that's the other one. It was coffee enema.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the third detox, was the coffee enema, which, you know, you get to the point where
you... They're not fun, but you do what you got to do, right?
It wasn't fun, but actually it was one of the best things I think I've ever done.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So you liked those?
Well, I felt that they were very helpful because I felt better after doing it.
Okay.
So it was...
And how often did you do those?
I had to do that every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Okay.
Yeah, until he told me to stop. Even when I got home, I still had to do it.
Okay. So for several months, you did them 7 days a week.
I did the coffee enemas for... It was 7 days a week, the castor oil. So I would have to go home. What I did was I'd go home and sit in the bathtub with I do the coffee enema first. Then I would sit in the bathtub, the castor oil pack. Then I'd sit in the bathtub with the Epsom salt for 20 minutes. And then I would do that every single day. So that was about 40 minutes with the castor oil pack. The coffee enema didn't take that long. They wanted you to hold it as long as possible, but sometimes that was just
It's usually not very long anyways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coffee enemas are great. I think they're fantastic. It's a very, very inexpensive thing that you can do at home. And it's so important to do that detox. Detoxing is crucial.
So it wasn't an easy journey. It was not easy. It was very difficult. The treatments weren't easy. But if you have a good support system and a good doctor, which I had, because I went and saw the doctor a lot. You know, he checked in all the time, and it was very nice.
And so you were there for about 3 months and then you came home and you had to do continued like home care stuff.
It was the detoxing and he gave me supplements to take. And I checked in with him once a month and they don't leave you in the lurch. They still, you know, keep you in the loop with everything. They don't send you home and say, all right, we'll see you later. You're done now.
Did they do any follow-up testing or was it just all based on your symptoms?
I'm trying to think. They did follow-up testing. Yes. Once a year I had to go back to Arizona and get the testing done. So apparently mine worked. Mine was fine. But then I would go back and get like some more IVs from them until they felt that I just only went on an as needed basis.
And when you went back on the as needed basis, did you do the IRAD again or just more immunity boosting therapies?
Just immune boosting therapies. I didn't need the IRAD anymore.
Okay.
If you did need to have that, then they would have done it. You would have had to start the program over again.
Okay.
But I did not have to start the program over again. They felt like I was okay as far as needing any more treatment. He said he was done killing, and he did say that there's only so much you can kill. It's always going to be in your body. So as long as you keep it at bay and keep it in remission, you're fine. You don't feel symptoms. So he just, you know, he said you can kill and kill and kill for like 10 years and it's never going to get rid of everything. So,
okay. And I hear, I do hear controversial stuff about that as well from different doctors.
Okay.
So as far as, your diet while you were there, did he have you on a specific diet?
Yes.
Okay, because diet is important for a lot of people to heal through this journey, right? What did your diet look like?
It was all gluten-free stuff. They wanted you to just eat clean. And he said that I didn't have a gluten allergy per se, but I was sensitive to gluten. So he wanted me to just stay away from stuff like that because he wanted my immune system and my gut to concentrate on killing and healing from the Lyme, not worrying about breaking down gluten. So that's basically what I ended up doing. It was just a bunch of clean eating. I mean, I wasn't perfect as far as that goes because I'm not good with diet, you know.
Well, and it's our food is hard out there, right? We think something's healthy and then it's really not. So, but gluten is very inflammatory, right? So we definitely want to keep that at bay as much as we can.
Yeah.
So all in all, from the time that you went to Invita to the time when he was kind of like, okay, you're done, you're good, you don't need any more treatment. What was that time frame like?
That was about 3 years.
Okay.
And I still keep in touch with them because you just never know.
Right.
I still you know, they're always at my fingertips if I need them. I have a home care coordinator that I correspond with. Like you said, it's like out of state rules with them. You have to go once a year to their facility for, you know, to be, if you want to keep them as your doctor.
Okay.
But then they changed it and said you can go on an as needed basis now. So that's what I was doing, and I haven't really needed them lately. The last time I went was, I think, maybe last year. This last August is when I went last, and I don't need to go there anymore unless I absolutely need them for something.
Awesome. And so, being at home, being in remission, are there any specific things that you will try to have as part of your daily or weekly routine to kind of stay healthy?
I guess they would like you to stay eating good, you know, like the stay clean eating, but that's a little bit difficult. They don't want you having sugar and any of that stuff. Sort of like the keto diet. He said if I felt like doing the Epsom salt bath or the castor oil pack, I can still do that once in a while.
And do you do any of that? What is your type of your modalities that you might do to stay healthy?
I haven't really needed that lately, and I just take the supplements, the adrenal supplements, and the things that he told me to take. I still take those, and everything seems to be okay. I don't have the brain fog like I had. The symptoms all cleared up,
okay.
So I can walk. And whenever I was in the facility, I've seen people. There was a 16-year-old girl. She had to be carried in by her parents. She was up walking around, and I've seen people heal. I've seen cancer patients leave their cancer free. And it's just like, even there's a celebrity there when I was there.
Fun.
Am I allowed to say who it is? I better not, because he was a patient.
Patient. We'll keep the privacy, but for sure fun, right?
Yeah, it was somebody that I absolutely loved. So I was like, I didn't talk to him though, but it was because he just looked like a regular patient sitting in the treatment chair. So I didn't recognize him at first. And then it's like, you know, but so there was a celebrity there that was one of my favorites, but you know, he was there for something different. He wasn't there for Lyme, but I thought if he's there, he can go anywhere in the world.
Right. That certainly says something, right?
I must be in the right place at this point, you know?
Yeah.
So that was always nice. But yeah, I'm glad I made that choice. It's a gamble because you just don't know. I threw so much money at this disease and you just don't know what
we never know which thing is going to work. Yep.
Yeah. I'm thinking this is my last resort. What happens if it doesn't work? And I was just, you know, I just got on the airplane. I was terrified. I never flew by myself sick before. And I just, I thought I barely was able to walk through that airport. I thought I'm not getting in a wheelchair and taking a wheelchair to the airport. I'm walking through like I normally do. And I did, I walked through, but I made my husband go with me, but
And he did come out and meet me for the last, for the harder treatments. My sister came out and met me at the airport, and then he stayed with me the rest of the time. But it was just, you know, it was just hard. And I think, you know, it helps when you have your family members there to help you.
For sure it does. Yeah, I was so sick when I started my journey at the treatment center that my mom, luckily she was there being my caregiver. I don't think I could have done it by myself. I just was too sick. So yes, we definitely need to lean on those that love us and let them support us.
Yes. It's not easy. And it's not easy on your family members. And I feel bad for anybody that has this disease and they're just throwing money at it and not getting anywhere. And it's hard seeing people struggle with it. So, you know, it's difficult. And it's heartbreaking because I feel I was one of the lucky ones who was able to get treatment because my mother helped me. And yeah, I just feel like there's people out there that can't do that. I know a man that had the same symptoms as I had. And I told him, I talked to him on the phone and I told him, you know, sell your classic cars, do whatever you can to get out there to get treatment. And he didn't want to do that. And he ended up killing himself. And it was horrible. And I thought, this is awful because, you know, I just talked to this man. And it's like, that's unfortunately, that some people just feel like that's their only way out. And it's sad. And I would just encourage anybody that has this disease that you can't get your life back.
It's very sad that many lives are ended with Lyme because of suicide. And I get it. I was in that dark place before, you know, and that's why I like to use this platform for everybody. So one, we can spread awareness about it. Two, we can talk about all the many different ways there are to treat, right? Because what works for you doesn't work for me. So just to be able to share different ideas, but mostly just to give hope and inspiration, right? Like you were at death's door at one point and here you are, you know, living your life. So that's what it's all about, right? And everyone can heal from this. It's a journey. It's not a fun one. And it can be a long one, but just never give up hope because there are so many of us that have reach the other side of it, right? To know that it is possible.
Yeah, you can get your life back. I never thought in a million years that I would have my life back. It was almost, I almost was giving up and I'm thinking, you know, but inside you're just got this drive. You want to live and you want your life back and there's nothing going to stop me till I do it.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for facilities like that so that you can, you know, get the help. I wish there was a way that they could help you with insurances and things like that. But unfortunately, insurance just gives you the traditional antibiotic and that's it.
Maybe one day we're making large strides moving forward in the Lyme, you know, world on many different things. So that's ultimately my end goal is I would love for insurance companies to pay for any form of treatment, whether it's a clinic like this or a naturopath doctor or a chiropractor, holistic health, whatever it is. So will it ever happen? I don't know. I'm just going to keep working towards it and praying for it. So,
yes.
Well, I am so extremely happy for you that you got your life back. It was a journey for sure to get there. And like myself, like I lost everything. I put every penny I had into getting well. And it sucks. It's a bummer, right? But but we have our life back. And I think that there's a lot of ways that we can get well, where we don't have to spend a fortune, right? It's just all about what works for us. Find a doctor you align with. And just most importantly, just don't give up that hope.
Right.
Thank you so much, Carol, for joining me. I really appreciate you sharing with us. And yay for getting your life back.
Yes, you too.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the About of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.